Amen.
Hear these words as we read from Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked him where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod's, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Holy Father, open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, and our ears as you speak to us today. We will receive those words and put them into action in our lives. And may the words from my mouth be a blessing unto you. Amen. You may be seated. So, what's the date today? How many of y'all make New Year's resolutions on New Year's Day? Be honest. I did. Y'all know what mine was? I don't make resolutions. How many of you have already broken your resolution? I haven't. Here's the thing. You know, when I was growing up, that was a big thing. Make New Year's resolutions. You're going to quit doing this. You're going to quit doing that. You're going to start doing this. You're going to start doing that. And the older I got, the more I realized that this is dumb. I'm just setting myself up for failure. But I smile when I hear or I see what people resolve. I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to quit drinking. I'm going to quit eating chocolate. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to quit that. I'm going to start going to church more. That's my favorite one. That lasts about a month. I'm going to be more spiritual in my life. I'm going to be more this. I'm going to be more that. And so thinking about this past week and the fact that when I did make resolutions, they typically lasted about 24 hours. And usually it had to do with, I'm going to get healthy. I can't tell you how many gyms I have joined and made them rich because they get the money and I don't get anything out of it. On the contrary, buffets. They get their money and I take them to the clinic. So I thought that as we start a new year, a new decade, and ironically 2020, and I never really thought about that until I started looking at stuff on Facebook. Somebody trying to trip me. The significance of 2020. So I thought, okay, so how can we take this scripture that we just read and apply it to the beginning of a new year? So in order to be successful with resolutions, I think that the magi or the wise men or magi, however you want to pronounce it, gives us a good insight on how we can be better in 2020 when it comes to our spiritual growth. So first of all, just a couple of disclaimers. So somewhere throughout history, it was determined that there were these three guys from different parts of the world that got together and they decided to ride across the desert to find the Messiah. So, typically, historically, Magi didn't travel in threes. They traveled in upwards to 100 at a time. I think the idea that there were three was because there were three. But here's what they did. So, there's no doubt that they were seeking the Messiah. And we seek the Messiah all the time. Even as Christians, we seek to see where He is leading us and guiding us to be. So, these are the three things that they did that we can use in our own lives. First of all, they sought the Messiah with an attitude. They sought Jesus with an attitude. So, when we make New Year's resolutions, you know, we go along for X amount of days, X amount of months, and we stay focused and we stay dedicated, and then that one day comes when we decide that it's not working for us and we abandon it, right? I mean, that's just nature. Sometimes it lasts for days, months, years. Sometimes it only lasts an hour. If you're like me, sometimes it only lasts until you get up out of bed on New Year's Day. But you see, the wise men had an attitude. So they first began researching and following when the star appeared. When they lost sight of the star, they didn't stop searching. They went to the nearest place that could give them direction, and that was King Herod. Now, King Herod, being the wonderful leader that he was, yes, I'm being sarcastic, decided to play along and followed up on it and decided to tell him, you know, when you find him, let me know so I can go worship him. He wasn't wanting to worship him because this was a challenge. But the whole point is that when the wise men lost sight of the star, they didn't stop seeking. And after they talked to Herod, it says here, after they had heard the king, they went out, went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them. So they continued to seek for Jesus, no matter the fact that they had lost sight of that star. So in seeking what God is doing in your life and seeking where God is calling you to be this coming year. Don't do what we typically do with resolutions, and that is, oh, well, I blew it. I'll work on it next year. But as the wise men did, continue to see God's will in your life. You see, the thing, the problem is that when things are going to plan, that's when we're closest to God. But when we lose sight of God, meaning that we move away, things start going down the wrong path. So the wise men have taught us to continue to seek God's will in our lives throughout the year on a daily, hourly basis. The second thing that they have taught us is to seek God, or God's will in our lives, with altitude. Altitude. So what is altitude? Somebody help me out here, because I don't know. What is altitude?
Height.
So, let's be honest. How many of us are proud of who we are? How many of us are proud of who we are? Now, I'm not talking about arrogantly proud, but proud. I'm proud that I'm my daddy's son. I'm proud that I'm a Christian. I'm proud that I'm part of this church congregation. I'm proud that she said yes. Sometimes we allow that proud a little bit more altitude than what needs to be. I mean, think about it. I'm the pastor of the favorite church in the Cedar Creek area. And yes, the district superintendent knows it now. And by my order, request, however you want to look at it, the bishop will know by the end of the week about the Maybank Church. I'm proud. But the danger is being proud. The wise men were a proud group. I mean, think about it. They didn't get the name wise men just because they made up the word. There was a purpose for them being the wisest in all of the land. That's something to be proud of. That's something to puff your chest out about. Yeah. They left Herod's thing. Herod didn't even know what we know. But that's not the altitude they took. Because as you read in our scripture, it says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And they bowed down and worshiped him. Their altitude was not way up here where if it rained, they drowned because the rain was going up their nose. Their altitude was to kneel before the true King. So they teach us to seek God's will in our lives with altitude. By being obedient to what God calls us to be and to do. The third thing is that they sought Jesus with gratitude. They sought Jesus with gratitude. How many of you are thankful that the holidays are over? We have a saying in the office when somebody asks, well, how was such and such? It's over. The wise men sought Jesus with gratitude. In other words, when they found him, Scripture tells us that they brought him gifts. They didn't bring him something from Five Below. They didn't bring him something off the bargain rack. They brought him the most extravagant, expensive, nothing could over be better than the gifts that they brought. As we talked with the children a while ago, gold is a gift you give a king. Frankincense, it's an anointing oil that you give to priests. Myrrh, an embalming fluid, or spice. They brought the greatest to the banquet. All of those gifts were outrageously expensive. So what they have taught us is to seek God's will with gratitude. This is my favorite of the three. You see, the wise men brought to the infant child their very best. They didn't bring him their leftovers. They didn't bring him their seconds. They brought him the very best. So as you seek God's will in your life this year, what are you going to give? What are you going to bring to God in gratitude? Will you bring him your best? Or will you bring him your leftovers? Unfortunately, we tend to bring the leftovers. We tend to bring to God, oh, I saw something somewhere that said church should be the excuse for doing other things, not the other way around. You see, when we give our best to God, God takes that and He blesses us more than what He plans on doing for us. You see, the wise men were wiser than what we originally thought. Because they sought the Messiah, the King, the Savior of the world, with an attitude of never quitting, never giving up, and when times got tough, they continued on. They sought the Savior of the world with altitude. Not being better than anyone else, not being equal to Jesus, but in a submissive, bowing state where they surrendered their whole being to God. And they sought the Savior of the world with gratitude. by giving him their all. So here is your challenge for this year. Seek to do God's will with the right attitude, in the right altitude, with the greatest gratitude. And I promise you, that if we do that, God will use us in the most amazing ways, and we will be blessed beyond imagination. So, your New Year's resolution should be this. A-A-G. Attitude, altitude, gratitude. The three twos. And let's see where we will be this time next year. And if we're as dedicated as those wise men were to finding Jesus, if we're as dedicated to serving Jesus as they were, I promise you, 2020 will be a year that will never, ever, ever be forgotten in our life. Bow with me. Gracious Father, we thank you so much that you sent your Son for us. We thank you for your attitude towards us, the love that you had in the forgiveness. We praise you for the altitude that you took, sending your Son not to reign over, not to stand over, but to live amongst us. And we praise you for your gratitude that you gave us your all. Father, teach us that we need to do the same thing. We need to give you our all without stopping, without allowing serve you as you've called us. That others might receive your Son as their personal Savior. That they might have that promise of everlasting life. That they might have the opportunity to share with them. We pray this in your Son's holy name. Amen. So with the new year comes